The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Perhaps you have seen this TV commercial where there's a little boy sitting at the dinner table and he still has vegetables on his plate. And his mother says to him, "You are not going to leave this table until you finish your vegetables." The next scene of the commercial shows what happens. He was very intent on not eating his vegetables, and so he would sit whatever time it would take. Well, the message of that commercial, besides eating vegetables, tells us that sometimes time is part of the message. And sometimes time is a critical part of a message. You think, for example, of the events on the East Coast this past week, and how important it was that people have timely information to be warned to flee so that they would escape any danger or prepare for the storm that was coming. Our presidential candidates are talking about time and connecting it with their message, and both of them are saying it's time now for them to be the leader and take our country in whatever direction they have proposed. Time and the message seem to be connected. This month we begin a new series of messages entitled, "There's a Time for Everything." And with those messages, we're going to see how God is connecting time, this time, our time, with important messages for us. Today our first message comes from the book of Revelation, a book that talks about the future, a book that talks about our time, today. And while many events in the book of Revelation might strike some fear into people, this message about time gives us an encouragement. The message is simply this: it's time to lift up our voices. Listen to this part of a vision that John had as he records it in the book of Revelation, chapter 14. "Then I saw another angel flying in midair. He had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water.'" Now, as I had mentioned to you, in the book of Revelation, we are given a lot of visions about the future time. And a lot of those visions, delivered in symbolic ways, might strike fear into people's hearts when they hear of the terrible times that will come. And as we look at history, we can say that have already come. And so as one's reading Revelation, one might ask the questions, what's going to happen? Specifically, what's going to happen to me? But instead of being filled with fear, this message gives us encouragement because it tells us about our mission. A mission that God has given to us. Now, some people today might say, well, the mission of the church is to make the world a better place for people to live. Or they might say, it's the mission of the church to improve people's lives. Or maybe to see to it that there's social equality or social justice. That's not the mission of the church. Listen carefully to what John describes. He said he saw an angel flying in midair. Now, obviously, what he saw was what we know of as an angel. But because the book of Revelation is filled with a lot of symbols, we have to ask the question, well, who is the angel? And the angel that he's referring to here is not the created beings that fly in midair, but this angel is God's people. The church, us. Now, how do I know that? Well, the word angel in the Greek language means messenger. In fact, earlier in the book of Revelation, when he was talking about the angels of the churches in Asia Minor, he meant the messengers, that is, the pastors. We also know that God did not give the commission to spread the gospel through the world to angels. He gave that commission to God's people, to the church, to us, with words that we are familiar with, like, go and make disciples of all nations, or preach the gospel to all creation, or the words of Jesus at his ascension, and you will be my witnesses throughout the world. The church has always understood that's its responsibility. That's its mission. That's why Paul proclaims, we preach Christ crucified. Now, it's not that God needs us to do that work, but God has called upon us to be partners with him. He has given us the privilege of being partners in this noble task of proclaiming the gospel. And who better to do it but people who know that precious message, people who know the value of hearing it and believing it, because it brings us comfort and joy. And so we are good examples of people who need to hear it, who have it, and now are called upon to share it. And that is the assignment. The assignment that was given to this angel was simply to proclaim the everlasting gospel. Now, the word proclaim means to speak, to preach it, to teach it. Sometimes, and I'm not sure if it's because we're a little shy or because we have a little of a misunderstanding, we tend to think that our actions proclaim the gospel. Our actions may reflect the gospel, and they may call people's attention to us and maybe gain their respect, but our actions cannot save anybody. It's the proclamation, the speaking of the words of Christ that save, because faith comes by hearing the message of Christ. And so we are called upon to proclaim that message. Because it is the message that saves people, we have to make sure that our proclamation is clear and faithful. That angel proclaimed it in a loud voice so that everyone would hear it, so there would be no misunderstanding of it. You see, we're not to take our own understanding of what the way to heaven is. We aren't to take our own understanding of what we think God wants us to do here. We are to reflect and preach faithfully the message that he has given us, the gospel, which, breaking that word down in the Greek language, simply means the good news. You understand why it's good news when you realize the situation that we are all in. Because of our sins, we have been separated from God and eternal life. Whether it's just one sin, and we all know we have not committed just one sin, or the abundance of our sins, we have been separated from God eternally, because God is a just God who says nobody can be in his presence who is not holy, who is without sin. Because we have violated his laws, we are deserving only of what he has declared to be the result, eternal death. There's nothing we can do to change that situation. We can't reverse it with our better behavior. We can't reverse the situation because we have good intentions. There's only one thing that changed the situation, and that was God's action on our behalf. God sends his own Son, Jesus, into this world. And with Jesus' perfect obedience to all of the commands of God, he pays off our debt of sin, so that now, by faith in him, God sees that we have obeyed his commandments. then Jesus pays the penalty for our sins. By putting himself under God's wrath, that's what he suffered on the cross, so that you and I will never have to pay that penalty. And Jesus gives us the assurance, the deposit of eternal life with his own resurrection from the dead that assures us of our resurrection and eternal life. That's the good news. It's not what we must do, but what God has done. And that's what the church is to proclaim, the everlasting gospel. That word everlasting is a very comforting word because it tells us that that message isn't going to change. It stays that way forever. So when we get to heaven, God isn't going to say, you know what, I've changed the rules. You can't get in now. God's message is permanent. It's perfect because it meets our needs. And it's personal. It's meant for you to accept it by faith. The everlasting gospel. That is what God has given us to proclaim. And then as he goes on to say, to proclaim it to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. With those words, he's describing our audience. He said, to those who are living on the earth. Now, in the book of Revelation, several times, there's a phrase or a term used to describe unbelievers. It was the inhabitants of the earth. But that's not the word that he used here. He changed it. He said, to those living on the earth. And that means everyone. Those who already believe the gospel and those who still are living in the darkness of unbelief. The gospel is for all people. It's to be proclaimed and taught to all. To those who believe, for their continued encouragement and perseverance in faith. To those who do not believe, to call them to accept that message. With four terms, he describes the people. He calls them every nation, language, every tribe, every race. With that, he's telling us it's people everywhere. Every group of people, every culture, every race, every country. Whether they're infants, children, teens, adults, or the aging, those are the people who need to hear the gospel. Now you look at that assignment and that audience and you say, that's a huge task. Can we do that? With God, everything is possible. In the last few months, you have heard how we as a church, united with other churches throughout our country, are taking the gospel to many different places in this world. At the end of the service today, there's going to be a brief presentation to show you a new way in which people here at Apostles are going to be reaching out to people throughout the world. Because of that presentation, this message will be cut a little bit shorter. You can hold me to that. But let's just reflect on this point, first of all. The mission that God has given us. I said our theme for our messages is all about time. The connection between time and message. And the point, first of all, is to understand that now is the time. We heard earlier in our scripture reading that Jesus said, the end of the world will not come until the gospel has been preached throughout all the world. God has given that assignment to us, and we are to fulfill it. Now is the time to proclaim the gospel, because souls need to hear it. Therefore, we as a congregation must keep the proclamation of the gospel as in the forefront of all that we do. If there is something that we get involved in and do that has no connection with the proclamation of the gospel, then we must ask ourselves, why are we doing it? Now, that doesn't mean we have to stop other activities that we do, as long as they don't detract from this main point of proclaiming the gospel, because that is our only mission. And we do it. You just have to take a brief glance through our bulletin to see all the activities we have going on. whether it's instructing our children through our school or our other children's ministries, whether it's our worship services, our Bible classes, or our outreach activities, we are involved in proclaiming the gospel. And I know that that demands a lot of us. And sometimes it gets tiring. But let's stay involved with the work. Let's not grow weary because people need to hear the message. Let's not become distracted and do other things, because souls need to be saved. That's our mission. And to accomplish it, God has given us his message. Listen to what the angels proclaimed. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." He's given us 4 points, 4 things that our message must contain. The first here, he says, fear God. Now that doesn't mean to strike fear into people, that is, that we should be scared of God. He's talking about the fear of faith. That sense of awe and respect and honor that comes when you've accepted the gospel. And that's what he's urging us to proclaim to people. Accept the gospel. We know that people can't do that on their own. It is through the message that the Holy Spirit works in the hearts of people to convert them. But we must be clear to people. They cannot reject the message. They must accept this truth, this gift of grace. When one has done that, then your heart is moved to fear. Not being scared, but the sense of respect and honor for God. And you will do as the angel says, give glory to God. That is, adore him. Have you noticed how quickly people can be ready to praise or adore those who have made some great accomplishment? Just think back a few days in our own community. How people were praising the Giants because they won the World Series again. We're so quick to acknowledge what people have accomplished and to pat them on the back and say how great they are, forgetting that it was just a year ago they weren't so great. But look at God. Look what he has done. Look what he has accomplished for us and gives us free eternal salvation. That's what this gathering is about. Let us be faithful in worshiping God publicly so we let people know we are adoring the God of grace who has saved this world freely. And then he reminds us of something that's going to come. He says, because the hour of judgment is near. With that, he's reminding us that the message of the church is to be alert, to be ready, because the final day is coming. On that day, when all people will stand before God, there are simply 2 things that are going to happen. People will either be sentenced to eternal damnation in hell or eternal life in heaven. And there's only 1 standard upon which that judgment will be made. Do they believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior? Now is the time. Now is the time to believe, not to put it off, because today is the day of salvation. His judgment is near. We need to be alert and ready, and so do other people. By God's grace, we have the righteousness of Christ to wear, that we can stand before a holy God. Let's work to make others ready in the same way. Because we wear that robe of righteousness, let us also proclaim what the angel says, to worship the God who has created the heavens and the earth and the seas. That is, to acknowledge God as our creator and preserver, to acknowledge the goodness of our God in our lifetime, now and forever. Let's lift up our voice as a Christian community and let the people know this is what God says about marriage. This is what God says about life in the womb. Let people know that God wants there to be a separation of church and state, each with its own particular missions. Now's the time to stand up and to acknowledge God as our creator and our preserver. Because there will be a day when everyone will bow their knee and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's acknowledge him now so that we can acknowledge that same thing in heaven. That little boy with his plate full of vegetables was quite determined to ignore his mother's message. Let's not ignore the assignment that has been given to us, the proclamation of the gospel. We've got it. We know how valuable and precious it is. Let's proclaim it. And the reason being, souls are at stake. They can be saved when they hear the gospel and believe.